There was an opportunity for folks to come to the river to be baptized in an act of solidarity, an act indicating their desire to come clean, to change their lives and start anew. The crowds gathered by the riverside by hundreds. They had heard that John the Baptizer was there offering them baptism to indicate their intent to turn their lives around. He had quite a reputation, this John. He lived in the desert, a dangerous and unwieldy place, where men would go to go face to face with their innermost demons. Many of them lost that battle, even after a very short stint in the desert. They left that place as quickly as possible, but were never the same again. And this John the Baptist spent most of his life there in the wilds of the desert. He was wild. And his clothes and diet were a reflection of that, a coat of camel skin and a diet of wild locusts. That was not the norm. It was rumored that John was a prophet like Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel. That could very well be true. It had been a while since a real prophet came to the people speaking on behalf of God, giving God's people a word. Could John be a prophet sent from God? There was only one way to find out for sure, and that would be to go and see for yourself. And so they did. The people came from far and wide to see this would-be prophet. He was knee-deep in water, baptizing one after another. And as the crowd gathered on this one day, John proclaimed, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance." Perhaps the most surprising part of this whole incident is that the crowds didn't just turn and walk away or turn on John. Maybe they were so shocked by the affront that they stood in silent shock, stunned to the point of being unable to move. Or maybe, as John continued with, "Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." Maybe this point stirred their curiosity enough that they wanted to see where this was all going. Times were different then. Preachers and prophets had a lot more authority, especially those who the people thought might be speaking on behalf of God. Someone spoke up. "Then what should we do? How can we get right with God if we've missed the mark so badly? If being a descendant of Abraham doesn't guarantee our place, what will? If this baptism in the river isn't enough to get us back in right relationship with God, what do we need to do?" And John didn't say, "Go talk to the priest." He didn't say, "Go to the temple and offer a grain offering and a sin offering. Sacrifice the sheep without blemish or a couple of turtle doves if you can't afford a sheep." What John said was, "Take care of people. Do not abuse your position. Do not overstep your boundaries. If you have two coats, share one with someone who has none, and the same goes for food. If you have an abundance, share with those who have none. If you're a tax collector, one who has previously been known for gouging friends and foe alike, stop that. Only take what is prescribed as taxes. No markups, no pocketing the excess. Be honest in your dealings with folks. For soldiers, you too. No extortion, threats, or false accusations. Be satisfied with your wages and do not try to take more through dishonest means. Be genuine, be honest, be transparent. Take care of those who have no one to care for them. The people thought this sounded like something the Messiah would say. So they began to clamor and talk among themselves. They are filled with expectation and excitement with the thought that John might be the one for whom they had been waiting. But their excitement and expectation would not be fulfilled at this point. John tells them very clearly that he is not the one. He is merely pointing the way. He is the forerunner, the one getting them ready for the Messiah to come. John said some harsh things to the folks gathered there on the banks of the river that day. He told them in no uncertain terms that they were not living as they were called to live as the people of God. He told them that before they came to the river to be washed, they had treated others badly and engaged in dishonest behavior. He told them that this baptism indicated that they intended to change their ways, to repent, to turn around and get right with God, to get with God's plan, instead of expecting God to turn a blind eye to their treatment of others. And rather than turn on John and start a riot or a revolt, we hear they were expectant and excited that he might be the Messiah. And we hear that he continued to proclaim the good news to the people. And we might wonder if this is good news at all. Wonder, by the way, is the Advent word of the day if you're following Advent word calendar set up by the Society of St. John the Evangelist. And we might wonder what John the Baptizer would say to us if he showed up today, this wild and unwieldy prophet from the desert. I wonder what words John the Baptist would have for us if we showed up at the river to see him, if we went to him in an attempt to indicate that we wanted to be washed clean. I wonder if we would hear John's call as good news. Would we be excited with expectation, or would our reaction be something very different? This Advent time offers us an opportunity to reflect on our lives, to take stock of our lives. Do the words of John make us uncomfortable? We're given the chance to turn around. If our lives do not reflect the message of the gospel to the world, then now is the time to get that right, to get back on track. The good news of Advent is that we have been given grace upon grace, opportunity upon opportunity, to reboot our lives and start afresh with a clean slate. Let us join in eager expectation as we excitedly await the coming of the Lord, and always giving thanks for the many blessings that we have been given. Amen.